Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, Tom Clancy only wished he could write a political thriller that rivals what's happening in our nation's capital right now. The old saying, truth is stranger than fiction, is probably about to be unveiled before our very eyes. Good morning. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
These two gentlemen shall serve as my co-host today with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Walker, tell our listeners the myriad of ways that they can stay connected.
Yes.
At the heart with this panel.
That's right.
Today.
You can stay connected closely to us.
Yes.
On the Today's Issues Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So you can watch the show there, mm-hmm. also comment on the show, and read the news stories.
Mm-hmm.
Also, see, there's more ways.
That's what I'm saying. It's myriad.
It's unending. Yeah. Unending ways to be connected to AFR. You can visit AFR.net. AFR.net. Listen live 24/7 at AFR.net. And find past shows. Past shows on AFR. Yes.
You can?
You can.
Like
you can
podcast?
Listen. That's right. You can listen to tomorrow's.
Do you have to have a pod?
You can listen to tomorrow's show
today?
You can
listen to tomorrow's show today.
Today.
We are futuristic. No, I meant to say you can listen to yesterday's show
mm-hmm.
right now on the AFR.net.
Or the day before.
Or the day before.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have a pod. It's there for
you. Will you give us the definition of podcast, please?
Pod. Well, if you got a cache and you got a pod, I think you got all you need right there to listen to past shows.
Well, I think I already settled this when I said you should not cast your pods before swine.
You did.
I remember.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear that one again.
That's prophetic.
That's funny stuff. Right? Yeah, it's pathetic, but it's still a little bit funny.
Prophetic. No, I said prophetic.
Oh, prophetic.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Ed pathetic.
No.
Not to my face.
No. He took a jab at me.
Let's rewind the tape here. I want to hear that.
Okay. All right, Fred, what's happening this morning?
Well, I'm going to turn it over to Walker.
Your correspondent?
My correspondent. We've got a kind of... a two-prong lead here this morning on stories, both dealing with deep state. So, Walker, deal first with what's called a FISA memo that's out there. FISA is the court that was set up in the wake of 9/11, and it has special powers so the government can get subpoenas to investigate certain individuals. And the original plan was who are thought to be planning terrorism acts here in the United States. That was the original reason for that court. But what we're finding out, when President Obama was president of the United States, something happened that court apparently was weaponized.
Yeah. Before Walker answers that, folks, how do I say this? You're going to have to pay attention. Okay?
Right now, this is like a novel.
Yeah, if you're driving through, you get your bacon and egg biscuit, and you're going to miss a minute and a half of this conversation, you may lose something. I'm just telling you,
yeah.
This is a B C D E story that you would do well to read about, and we can maybe cite you a couple of
because this
stories.
Is not going away.
This is not
this
going
could
away.
Be huge.
Yeah.
This is not going away. This is yeah, exactly. So. I'm sorry, Walker, but I wanted to tell folks
absolutely.
That because go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to lay this out in a matter of 2 minutes, and I'm going to try to keep it simple for the most part. Many of you remember when President Trump tweeted about being wiretapped, about Trump Tower being wiretapped during the presidential transition after he was president-elect. So that the media went crazy. There's no such thing as wiretapping nowadays, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out Trump Tower was wiretapped, maybe not technically wiretapped, but he was being spied on. President Trump and his transition team was being spied on. How he found out is this. The NSA director, Mike Rogers, under Obama, traveled to Trump Tower in November of 2016, a week after President Trump was elected, during the transition, traveled to Trump Tower and met with President-elect Trump and told him that you are being spied on by an elite group of powerful people in Washington, D.C. that are still in powerful governmental positions like FBI director, CIA director, etc., attorney general. Mike Rogers told President-elect Trump, you are being spied on. President-elect Trump then moved his transition team to Bedminster, New Jersey, his golf course, the next day after he met with Mike Rogers.
The hotel there.
Yes, the hotel on the golf course there, because he believed he was being spied on at Trump Tower. Well, this is all coming out. It turns out that there was a secret society, and that's not a name made up by me. That's a name made up by the people in the secret society, that their job and purpose was to meet in private places out of government facilities and collude to undermine President-elect Trump. Before the election,
right.
Yes, to get Hillary Clinton elected. So they used the NSA. So you always hear people talking about, are we being spied on? Yes, we are.
National Security Agency.
Yeah, the National Security Agency, who collect everybody's data under the authority of Congress. They were collecting President Trump and his associates' data throughout the entire presidential election and after the presidential election. And NSA Director Mike Rogers found out about it and went and told President-elect Trump. And so all of this is coming out. So the NSA, the National Security Agency, the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, all these top agencies, people in those agencies were colluding to undermine President Trump, then candidate Trump, and the list goes on.
And the time between the president was elected and the time he was sworn in, too. That 6-week period or two month period, I guess, this is kind of all going on as well.
Yes.
And Fred's going to pick up the story right here. But let me, this is interesting. This gentleman, Mike Rogers, was an admiral in the Navy, right?
Yes.
Before he was appointed by President Obama, I guess.
Yes.
To the position of what?
NSA director.
So he's the one, you talk about a guy with some courage.
Sticking his neck out.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the one probably not telling anybody what he's doing. Goes, I don't know if it was a public meeting where he goes, maybe it was, under the guise of I'm helping with the, you know, introduce myself to the new president.
No, he did not tell anyone.
Okay.
He was going to Trump Tower.
So this is basically a secret meeting where this fella goes, you know, looking over his shoulder both ways, probably walking down the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. I know I'm being a little bit dramatic here. But he's going, or maybe I can come in the back door. But can you see him on the phone going, you just tell Mr. Trump I've got something to tell him,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you until I get there.
Now, was he still NSA director?
Yes,
when he
was NSA director. And the weeks following his meeting with President-elect Trump, the Obama administration found out he was a mole in the administration.
According to them.
According to them, a mole, meaning he wasn't loyal to them. The CIA director and all of them recommended President Obama fire him immediately, fire Rogers immediately for telling Trump that they were spying on him. And fortunately, Obama did not fire him because President-elect chose to keep him. President-elect Trump chose
well,
to keep
him.
Well,
if he had fired him, that would have been the worst thing that they could do at that point. Because
right.
then the whole thing would have come up, and why is he being fired?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that the most damning information of it all is that the NSA and the CIA were spying on American citizens, and FBI agents, rank and file FBI agents, had access to querying data. They could go search names of President Trump's associates and him, and they could just get log after log of unfiltered spy data. And this was a huge breach in privacy when it comes to spying.
If I could refer people to a story I read last night, which encapsulates, is that the word I'm looking for?
Yes.
Yep.
All of what Walker just talked about. Maybe Walker, you got a better source, but Michael Goodwin. It's linked at Drudge. But Michael Goodwin, G-O-O-D-W-I-N, from the New York Post.
I read that this morning, too.
Did you read that?
Boy, it really clarifies it,
it's a great factual story talking about what Walker's been discussing here.
Can I just read one paragraph from this?
Yeah, from this column,
column that you're recommending? Yeah. It says, each day brings credible reports suggesting there is a massive scandal involving the top ranks of America's premier law enforcement agency. The reports, which feature talk among agents of a, quote, secret society and suddenly missing text messages, talk about the kind of movie aspect of this, point to the existence both of a cabal dedicated to defeating Donald Trump in 2016 and of a plan to let Hillary Clinton skate free in the classified email probe. If either one is true, and I believe both probably are, it would mean FBI leaders betrayed the nation by abusing their powers in a bid to pick the president. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean,
explosive.
You talk about Tom Clancy. You talk about, yeah. I mean, this is just.
Mm-hmm. And they were using this FISA court, which was set up to track terrorists. They started using this FISA court basically to eavesdrop on people associated with the Trump campaign.
Yeah. And now
that's what was going on.
Now, FISA stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Yes.
So like you said, Fred, this is an act that was passed and signed into the law to give intelligence services in this country a tool to track the plans of terrorists overseas. The way in which, and I know you're going to explain this, the way in which this was used and abused, these FISA courts, this legislation set up these courts, this was abused to bring the Trump campaign and the Trump administration into the surveillance actions is incredible.
Yep.
And I'm talking about this woman. I'm not sure if you're going to talk about this or if... Steve Jordahl is going to talk about
this. This is another part of this, another spoke to this.
This Natasha Veselnitskaya,
yes,
was given a special permit, a special
visa
to come into this country and meet with Donald Trump Jr. And since she was from Russia, under the FISA statute, they surveilled. The Trump administration, they spied on him.
So the picture.
Obama administration brought this woman in.
Exactly. And so the picture you start to get here is the Obama administration, the Attorney General of the United States, Loretta Lynch, says, let's bring this woman in. We'll give her a special visa. She shouldn't be here. We're going to let her come in and we're going to eavesdrop on her conversations. And then.
She's a foreigner.
And thus, Russia collusion is born.
Yes.
Where is it born?
Created the whole thing.
It's not born with Donald Trump. It's born with Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama.
This is crazy and getting crazier.
It's getting crazier by the moment. All right.
Well, it's crazy in one respect. In another respect, it's genius.
Chilling.
It's chilling that it's genius if they could pull it off without being caught.
Right. Yes.
But now it's unraveling.
Right.
More of this is coming out. You know, we can thank God that the Republicans were elected last fall or the fall of 2016. Otherwise, if Hillary Clinton was still there, none of this would be known. Mm-hmm. None of this would be known. So now what we're finding out, remember we talked about this yesterday, these two FBI agents, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were girlfriend-boyfriend, they hated Donald Trump. They loved Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And so we now know they were passing messages back and forth. But something happened on October 16, 2016, just a few weeks before the election, that all of a sudden all their text messages have disappeared up until May of last year. Now, the official excuse is their Samsung text messaging system has really messed things up, and all those text messages have suddenly disappeared.
After they were requested to be turned over.
Exactly.
To the House Intelligence Committee. Am
yes.
I right on that?
Poof.
Yeah. Oh, we can't find them.
We can't find them anywhere. Now, there's more to this. As part of this deep state, last night, Senator Ron Johnson, who's chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, he let it be known that he now has an informant about this deep state. I want you to listen to what he had to say about this informant and what this informant is reporting about off-site meetings by people in the FBI. Have a listen.
In these texts that just got released, we find out that she already knew that Director Comey wasn't going to press charges. So top officials in the FBI knew that Loretta Lynch knew before she said that she was going to let Comey decide that he wasn't going to prosecute. He wasn't going to press charges at all. And then Comey later testified that there was no coordination between the Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, and the FBI. You know, so that is coming into question. So what this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. This is bias, potentially corruption at the highest levels of the FBI that is now investigating. And by the way, Robert Mueller used to run the FBI. He is in no position to do an investigation over this kind of misconduct. So I think at this point in time, we probably should be looking at a special counsel to undertake this investigation, but Congress is going to have to continue to dig.
This is amazing. Now, this Peter Strzok, okay, he was the one, and if I'm missing some of these, by the way, it's Natalia Veselnitskaya. I think I said Natasha. Too much Bullwinkle, too many Bullwinkle cartoons. Peter Strzok, mm-hmm. Was the one who changed the language,
correct,
of Comey's statement regarding Hillary's email. Remember, he went before yes. Congress and made this statement. Peter Strzok, who was in charge of investigating that scandal, is the one who softened the language, changed the language so that Comey would not actually say anything that could get her into legal trouble.
That's
then
right.
He was also in charge. Am I right about this on the investigation of the Russian collusion?
Yes.
Well, and he also interviewed Hillary Clinton in July of 2016 without making her swear in.
Right. Not under oath.
Not under oath. Hey, just sit down. I mean, we could almost, I guess, tongue in cheek, call him the chairman of the FBI's Hillary fan club.
Yeah. And Loretta Lynch was the one, this clip you were just playing, who said that there will be no prosecution of Hillary Clinton. She knew
right.
yes.
before Comey actually, quote unquote, made his decision.
Okay. Keep in mind, too, here that, and that was a Senator Johnson that
correct.
You just heard from, that we played the clip. Keep in mind here, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter Strzok, again, still at the FBI,
yeah.
even today, remains.
Still drawing a paycheck.
Yeah. He was in charge of the Hillary Clinton investigation?
Yes.
It's incredible.
This is unbelievable. So, and I use investigation.
Air quotes.
With air quotes. And remember, she was never put under oath.
Right. No.
Hillary Clinton.
Right.
After all this, the destruction of evidence.
Yes.
Now she did, I will say this, Secretary Clinton did appear before Congress and mm-hmm. testify and got asked questions about these things, some of these things.
Right.
Or did she? Or was that Benghazi?
That was Benghazi.
Okay, my apologies. That
yes.
was Benghazi.
Yes.
My apologies. Okay, so then she never did
no.
appear
right.
before Congress on this. So this fella who might as well be her doubling as her fan club president.
Yes.
Right? And Strzok, who's still at the FBI, he's investigating Hillary Clinton, the one he salivates over
yes.
as a political leader. And he also doesn't put her under oath. James Comey's overseeing this. That's his boss.
He doesn't
put him under oath and talks to her for 2 hours.
Yes, he doesn't put her under oath. And let's remember, after this, James Comey is testifying before Congress about the Hillary Clinton investigation. And he is asked, did you come up with your conclusion to exonerate her before or after the Hillary Clinton interview? He says, oh, after. After. He said, because who knows what would have happened in that interview? She could have lied.
Right.
No, sir, she couldn't have lied because she was not under oath. You cannot perjure yourself if you're not under oath. Michael Flynn and Paul Manafort perjured themselves. They told falsehoods
right.
because
right.
they were under oath. She was not under oath. Thus, Comey is wrong. She couldn't have lied and then perjured herself because she wasn't under oath.
Plus, the statement that Comey wrote exonerating Hillary Clinton was written before the interview.
Yes. Right.
Yes. And,
right. So
and
the fix was in.
The fix was in. And Peter Strzok, some of the texts that have been made public, he is, you know, texting to his mistress, talking about this idiot Trump can't get elected, but we have an insurance plan. Mm-hmm. And Peter Strzok, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one whose text messages have disappeared.
Yes,
the
that's
ones
correct.
That have not been released mm-hmm. that the House Intelligence Committee is demanding that turn. Oh, I don't have them. I lost them. The dog ate them. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else.
There's more to come, though, because this FISA memo that we have been referring to, I think Congress and the president are just on the cusp of releasing that to the public.
Yes.
Every congressman, they've been allowed to read this, and they're saying it is shocking. Remember we played the clip of that congressman yesterday who was in law enforcement before becoming a member of Congress? He says in all his time in law enforcement, he has never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. This is shocking. It's going to shock the nation, and people need to go to prison mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. very high places.
Now we have sent out an action alert this week, so we want to encourage people to go to AFA.net. If you haven't signed up for our action alerts, sign up for them. One of the action alerts is we are asking the House of Representatives and President Trump to make sure this four-page FISA memo is declassified and released. You can sign up for our action alerts. Get your name on that. That thing, you know, is going gangbusters as well in terms of an action alert, because the American people need to see that the fix was in. And this goes all the way, it may go all the way up to the top of the Obama administration.
Yeah, you talk about Watergate. Watergate, which brought down President Nixon, was, quite frankly, as they say it, a minor break-in of the Democratic office a few people broke into the Democratic headquarters in Washington, D.C. at the Watergate apartment complex, which was an office complex, too. They break in, try to get some papers. This is way before the Internet. This is the 70s. Trying to get something they could use against the Democrats.
Yeah, I think it was a psychologist notes on, I think, Daniel Ellsberg, if I remember right.
On about a presidential race.
Right.
Trying to get an advantage. Yep. And then we all know what happened there. If that's big news, the story we're talking about today.
Well, this statement from this article you recommended, Michael Goodwin, this is the New York Post article that you can link to on Drudge. He said, I'm just going to reread this. It would mean FBI leaders betrayed the nation by abusing their powers in a bid to pick the president. Yeah. That is far worse than Richard Nixon trying to cover up what was done at Watergate. We're talking, this is like Russia. This is the real Russia.
Well, and we need to remind our folks, buried in all of this whole Russian collusion thing, that Mueller's allegedly investigating is a ruse.
Yes.
It's a total ruse.
We didn't even talk about the Russian dossier.
Right. No.
Right. So when everybody laughed and scoffed at President Trump when he said he was being wiretapped, and that's a 1960s get smart
phrase.
What he meant was he was being spied on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was.
And he was, as it turns out now. Hey, we've got some good news to report coming up in just a minute about another abuse of power. Remember the IRS targeting conservative groups a few years ago, Lois Lerner and all that? Well, that's still been in the courts. We're going to have the leader of Catherine Engelbrecht on from True the Vote in just a minute and tell you about a court case she won.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Parents at Rancho Romero Elementary School in California are furious. Teachers put up a bulletin board that encouraged four-year-olds to question their sexual identity. Among the features on the display, a colorful unicorn with what appears to be candy covering its private parts. Parent Mia Kaminsky.
Like, it was a creepy way to lure a child over to this board, to sort of confuse them with their gender.
The bulletin board also promoted Dan Savage, a radical gay activist who sponsors an annual porn festival.
For him to be a role model for four-year-olds to 11-year-olds is just utterly disgusting.
The school district defended the display, saying it was meant to encourage kids to break out of gender stereotypes. As for Mr. Savage, they removed his photo after we made inquiries. It's no surprise public schools are indoctrinating kids, but exposing four-year-olds to a porn peddler? Might want to consider homeschooling, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we're going to get back to our novel being read by all of us here in just a few minutes. No, we've been discussing this explosive story out of Washington, D.C. I don't know. I haven't been watching CNN. I bet they're still Russia, 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 Russia. That's their broken record over there. What I've seen, maybe they're covering this, but and I don't know how much news the mainstream news media is covering this, but they're going to have to. It's forced upon them. This story that we've been talking about for the last 30 minutes involving really powerful, important people and agencies, namely the FBI, that it's becoming obvious that they were trying to harm candidate Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him from having any chance to win the presidency, and then after he won, to cut him off at the knees.
Yeah.
And that's what their goal was. They were politically driven, but they had positions of power in the government which would have allowed them to accomplish this. So a lot of what happened in the early months of the administration, and you're scratching your head going, who's leaking all this? What's going on? Why is this not being done? Why does the White House seem to be in a little bit of a, well, they were being undermined. Clearly, undermined is a light word here. But anyway, we're going to get back to that in a little bit. Walker, have you put anything on our
Yes, I've posted the article from the New York Post.
Okay, that, Michael Goodwin.
And Ed cited. I also posted a source called the conservativetreehouse.com, and I'm not as familiar with this source, so, you know, I'm not 100% supportive of it, but everything I've read from this news story from the Conservative Treehouse is backed up by facts.
They have links to other stories.
Links to other news sources. So it's the title of it is How NSA Director Mike Rogers Saved the U.S. from a Massive Constitutional Crisis. You can find that on the Today's Issue.
Also,
page.
I'm wanting to know more and more if Michael Flynn was set up in this whole thing too, basically, General Flynn. But we'll talk about that later. But so many aspects to this story that are coming forth right now. And you have a United States Senator last night, Ron Johnson, from the state of Wisconsin, and his position is what?
He is the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate.
And he said what? And then we'll get to our guest.
He has an informant who is telling him that these officials, FBI officials, Justice Department officials, had secret meetings off-site, is the phrase that was used. And they were cooking up this plan to undermine the candidate Trump and then President Trump in the weeks after that he was elected.
Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that in just a few moments. Again, what comes to mind with me is truth is stranger than fiction expression. That seems to be showing up clearly in this particular story/stories. You may remember a few years ago, it was exposed that the Internal Revenue Service was targeting conservative groups for denial of tax-exempt status.
I don't believe that for a minute.
So Ed didn't believe it for a minute.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
I believed.
I know. And you may remember the name Lois Lerner.
Yes.
Of course, she appeared before Congress.
And was very forthcoming.
Really cleared things up.
Yeah, she had a script in front of her that says, I'm taking the fifth.
Yeah. I didn't do anything wrong. I plead the fifth. You're not supposed to be able to say, I didn't do anything wrong. You're supposed to have to say, I plead the Fifth Amendment. But anyway, here you have a person working for the IRS who's pleading the Fifth Amendment. But anyway, it related to one of the groups it related to was True the Vote. And I saw a very encouraging press release from True the Vote this morning having to do with their court case against the IRS. And joining us to talk about it is the founder, Catherine Engelbrecht. And Catherine, good morning to you, Catherine.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Now, are you in the Houston area?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Well, we have a station in Conroe, 88.3, American Family. I don't know how far you are from there.
My general rule of thumb is to stay as far out of the beltway as I can, so anywhere in Texas is safe ground.
I got you. Hey, tell us about this story. I got your press release this morning. So you're the founder of True the Vote. What's True the Vote's mission, number one? And number two, tell us about this experience with the IRS.
Well, True the Vote's mission is to inspire and equip citizens to actively engage in the electoral process beyond just voting. Voting is the most important thing we can do. But shortly behind that is making sure that the process remains free and fair. And so that's what Through the Vote was started to do, is just to make sure that people were equipped to get out, work in the polls, and keep our elections clean. And when we filed our paperwork for nonprofit status back in 2010, to the best of our knowledge, then as now, we were the only national group that was taking a hard look from a liberty perspective about how to best preserve voters' rights. And upon filing that application, it triggered something behind the walls of the IRS, of many government agencies that pointed their lasers at us to try and keep us from getting that nonprofit status. And so ultimately we sued them over it, and we are finally, after 5 years, bringing the case to a close.
What happened yesterday?
Yesterday we did the court signed off on a consent decree that is a laundry list, essentially, of all the things that the IRS did wrong. Namely, I guess the best way to say it is they violated the Constitution, and the court made that clear.
Go ahead.
No, it stopped short of what we really need, though, and that is a law or some vehicle that can hold these people accountable. I mean, in your earlier comments, you talked about, you know, Lois Lerner slipping past, and the reason she did is because there is nothing, not related to the IRS or to any other government employee, that holds them accountable when they target and abuse private citizens. And, you know, what we're seeing play out now at a much higher level begs the question, you know, where does it end? Where does it end? And hopefully, you know, we're going to help to be a part of that solution.
Yeah, you talk, the wheels of justice move slowly. This, your case, is the wheels of justice car breaks down 8 times. My word. 2010, here we are, 2018. People's kids have come through elementary school and graduated by the time this thing was taken. But this was the ruling that we're commending here and celebrating that I have before me is not the whole thing, but I have your press release from True the Vote. Is it says United States District Judge Reggie Walton. That's a federal judge, true?
Yes.
True.
Yeah, obviously it says United States, okay. But I just want to make clear. Declared, quote, discrimination on the basis of political viewpoint in administrating the United States tax code violates fundamental First Amendment rights, end of quote. So you were vindicated on this issue, and True the Vote was. I don't know how many other groups had their rights violated in this whole situation. Where does this go now? Or is this done? Who was representing the other side? Was it government lawyers for the IRS?
Yes, the Department of Justice.
The Department of Justice.
The Department of Justice.
I guess
is the agency assigned to defend government agencies.
Yeah.
And you know, time upon time over these years, my lawyer and I would enter a courtroom, two people stacked against 20 some odd DOJ attorneys and IRS agents who were dug in on this.
His name, the lead lawyer, wasn't Strzok, was it?
Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok. He wasn't the lead lawyer on that case.
That's the one thing he didn't do.
Huh?
That's the one wrong thing he hasn't done.
Okay, so anyway, well, congratulations. Where can people, like I said, you're right, though. This shouldn't be over. This should now be revisited by...
Absolutely. Now we have a material basis to show where the IRS has confirmed that they did exactly what we and so many other groups said they were doing. They were targeting and discriminating unfairly against American citizens. Now we need a law that will prevent it from happening in the future. No American should ever go through what we had to be put through.
Well, now, why would Lois Lerner plead the Fifth Amendment if she didn't do anything wrong? Everybody's looking at me.
I mean, you know, she like every other government employee right now, you know, what is the saying that used to be on the show Survivor? Outplay, outwit, outlast?
Right.
That's the game. They just are going to say you out, just like the Department of Justice attempted to do with us, year upon year upon year, claiming that they had. I mean, it started with no email. I mean, it's so similar in many respects to the headlines we're seeing today. Started with the emails we knew existed, and then suddenly they all disappeared. Took years, and you know, within, I guess, the last 2 months. We learned that there were 187,000 documents that were relevant to our case.
Yeah, I just question. I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm probably wrong, or could be convinced I'm wrong on this. But I do have a fundamental problem with a director or someone in senior management at a government agency pleading the Fifth anytime when they're testifying before the people's representatives. They have no right. I mean, maybe they do technically or legally, but they have no right not to answer the questions. And if for Lois Lerner to be able to say, I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment when you're testifying. You're a federal government employee.
Right.
And testifying about what went on in your department.
With taxpayers' money.
Right.
Right. And my view of that is, you know, it has to cut both ways. So if you're going to plead the Fifth, then you have to be willing to come out from under the veil of sovereign immunity and be prosecuted for your crimes. And
that's right.
You know, that, so she was trying to have it both ways, pleading the Fifth and getting off scot-free, but knowing that ultimately there was nothing that you know could be used to hang her on in any
yeah.
case.
Yeah.
And that has to change.
All
it
right.
has to change the IRS and has to change across the board.
Well, listen, thank you. Congratulations, Catherine.
Thank you very much.
True the Vote is on the internet where?
TrueTheVote.org. People can go and check us out and sign up and keep informed.
Congratulations and...
Thank you for fighting it.
Absolutely.
It's a long battle.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. We're all in it together. Thanks, guys.
You know, gentlemen, we've been using the word chilling. This case started in 2010. The Attorney General then was Eric Holder under Barack Obama. We've used the word weaponizing in the initial stories we've been talking right. about this morning. The picture that starts to come into play here is that the moment that Barack Obama was elected president of the United States, he was going to use all the powers at his disposal to punish and do whatever he could to minimize and perhaps wipe out of existence anybody that he thought was a political enemy. Tea Party groups.
Right.
My enemy.
Anybody with the word patriot in your organization's name.
You're out of here.
Well, the Tea Party groups were the ones who led the charge to take over Congress in 2010.
And
President Obama, that incredibly damaged him.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw them then as the enemy, not just politically, but also, politically and how can we stop this bunch using the power of the executive branch of the government.
Which is formidable. Yeah. We're talking about the amount of power they have.
Yeah,
you could argue more than the Congress.
You could argue more
than the Congress. We've talked about that before. That's another secret society in a way. But anyway, at least some justice has been done here after 8 years. And, Walker, are you going to put this on our Facebook page?
Yes, I will.
Okay, and again, at least some justice has to be done. Although, Lois Lerner should be called back again and put under oath again and say, you can't plead the Fifth anymore because we got a judge saying what you did was a violation of the law. So, or you and your team.
I think Attorney General Jeffress should have a visit with Lois Lerner and make a deal.
Jeff Sessions? I don't think Robert Jeffress took over.
Pardon me. Yeah, that was another story I was dealing with.
Yeah.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions should have a meeting with Lois Lerner and say, we're going to call you back and we'll make you a deal if you tell us who ordered you to do this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think Lois Lerner did this on her own.
Right.
I think she was given a green light, at the very least was given a green light from her superiors, go ahead.
Yeah. You know what, people, we're all human and we're all tempted maybe to use our whatever influence or powers we have for wrong purposes, or vindictiveness, or because I don't like somebody's ideas. So I'm not saying this could never ever happen under a Republican administration.
Right.
Well, Watergate happened under a Republican administration. So the human heart knows no Democrat or Republican, you know, political affiliation. However, having said that, we want to bring Abraham Hamilton III into the conversation on this one. However, having said that, the secular progressive movement in this country, led by George Soros with the funding, President Obama is one of their leaders, Hillary Clinton's one of their leaders, and the secular progressive movement in this country, they don't believe in God, the God of the Bible, all right? Some of them may give lip service to it, and President Obama will go to church four or five times, maybe a year. But he doesn't believe in inerrancy of Scripture, for example. He doesn't believe in the God. So the secular progressivism denies the existence of absolute truth as we are shown in the Bible. Okay, follow me here. So if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in a morality, really, and you don't believe in punishment or reward for sin, that frees you to go straight to the end justifies the means as a philosophy for how to conduct your life. That's where we are with secular progressivism in America. They can abuse the power that they have, and these are very powerful people, if it means righteousness in their eyes is achieved. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
So Lois Lerner, for example, if she's guilty of this, is using the power of her office at the IRS to stop these right-wing radicals at the Tea Party and the Patriot Movement from stopping the president from accomplishing his mission as a progressive. You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. Follow this. Mm-hmm. So in her mind, she's done something very noble.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, they would argue that they have a moral imperative to accomplish their end goal because, you know, those Tea Party people are just such a danger, a cancer on society. So if I have to flaunt constitutional authority in order to get the job done of silencing the voice of conservatives in the country, not only do I not have a problem with that, you should be giving me a medal. You know, and that is the view. You know, it's the old saying that you can't make an omelet unless you crack a couple eggs. You know, that is their view. I mean, who cares? What is this Constitution? And you have people like the famed economist John Maynard Keynes. He said, we have to be honest about something, that the founders have outwitted us establishing this separation of powers business that makes it hard for us to accomplish the progressive objectives. So we have to find
of what globalism?
Yes,
and socialism
of globalism, of fiat currency, of socialism, the whole nine yards. So even way back then, he said that we have to find ways to subvert this frustration established by the founders to make sure that we don't allow these old dead men to prevent us from accomplishing the object of the progressive humanity.
Who said that?
John Maynard Keynes.
Oh, yeah.
The father of Keynesian economics, where you get quantitative easing from and printing money and all that kind of stuff.
What do you think about we talked for half an hour before we had the good news on from our friend Catherine there at True the Vote. I'm sure this afternoon on your program, the Hamilton Corner, you're going to be talking about this explosive developing story involving the FBI and other agencies. And just let it fly.
Well, I talked about this at length yesterday. When you start to put all of the dots together, you see all of these things that are happening. There are a host of things that I will continue to say about it. But when you think about that, we have the real time. I heard you guys refer to weaponization of a federal agency, and not just any federal agency, but the FBI, that's used to spy on and to literally impede the progress of an American citizen running for public office. In this particular instance, is Donald Trump. But I say this should concern all Americans, because today is Donald Trump. Tomorrow, it's your candidate. And how do you feel knowing that you have the federal government with its full scope, power, and resources being used to spy on American citizens to advance their agenda? Because it certainly is not the agenda of the American people.
Right.
You know, it really makes it makes a mockery of our elections. It makes a mockery of our constitutions. It makes a mockery of our citizenship, which, oh, by the way, is also being mocked by people advocating for illegal aliens flaunting our system, too. So you see it happening, a sort of convergence on multiple sides that goes, once again, accomplishing the objective that who cares what the Constitution says? We want to reshape society in our own image.
Abe, let me ask you a question. So after all this is done coming out, if it's ever going to be done, all this information of corruption, if you have top officials at the FBI, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, all these people.
You got to throw Comey in there. I'm sorry.
James Comey.
Yeah.
And all of them were involved in this spying and secret society and collusion, cover up. Then you have top DOJ officials like Bruce Orr, etc. Mm-hmm. So you have, and many of them still hold their jobs. or at least jobs of similar name, who arrests them?
Right.
Who there is nobody above the DOJ and the FBI. Yeah. Who the president? Who arrests them?
Yeah, it's the Fox Garden Hen House. If the fact that literally almost 90% of the people you name still have their jobs lets us know how problematic it is. And we have to have more senior DOJ officials to instruct and require more junior DOJ officials to execute the arrests. Okay. Otherwise, we have become somewhat of a banana republic.
Wait a minute. I'm going to ask the question that I think a lot of listeners are asking at this point. We have Attorney General Sessions.
Yeah.
He runs the joint.
Hold on just a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. He does. He is in charge.
Yes.
For how long has he been in charge?
About 8 to 10 months.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm answering the question for Abe, but I'll let him ask. But as I said, I just want to put it in this framework for just a minute. Not that I'm getting impatient with Attorney General Sessions as well. I know a lot of people are wanting to know what's going on. Why aren't you moving on some of this stuff? And he is moving on some of it. But you have to keep in mind here, to his defense, he's moved from the Senate to an office where he knows no one. Okay? He's been in the Senate forever. I'm assuming he knows no one. He doesn't know anybody over there at the FBI or the Justice Department.
He can trust.
On a day-to-day working level.
I hope he trusts Christopher Wray.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Yeah, yes. They've got 8 years of packing this place with Clinton people and Obama people, secular progressives. So Jeff Sessions walks in. Yeah, he's the new leader, but he's got a whole line of offices down his hall of people who hate the fact that he's even there. And so you see what I'm saying? And so he unless he brings his secretary over from the Senate, he's got nobody there he can really trust.
The only thing I'll say to that, because you can't forget that Jeff Sessions was himself the U.S. attorney for the state of Alabama. So that is under the auspices of the Department of Justice.
Attorney General.
He was both. He was a U.S. attorney for the state of Alabama, and he also was attorney general. So he has been involved in DOJ at lower levels. So I'm sure he knows some people in the building. But I agree with you that the scope of those whom he could trust is probably out of balance, leaning more to those who he can't trust versus those he can.
So I'm just saying, think of yourself in an office situation like I've just described, especially the Justice Department, and you want to, all right, call so-and-so down the hall. Hey, Bill. Bill, nice to meet you, Jeff Sessions. Tell me about this case involving so-and-so.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, and then that guy goes back down the hall. I know I'm doing a little bit of drama here.
I talked to Sandy Rios yesterday after the show, and this is public information. She said this on her show, and so have her guests. But I said, do you think Sessions is handcuffed? I mean, is there any use for Sessions anymore? She said, if we lose Sessions, then we will literally have no one to keep them accountable. She said Sessions is the last one there. And she said, I'm frustrated at his lack of action sometimes too. But she said, if we lose him and President Trump appoints someone else who's worse than Sessions, who knows Comey and all them.
You have to start all over too.
Well, yeah, then who arrests them?
Right.
Sessions is all we have, unfortunately.
And he may be doing things that we don't know about.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe. I hope.
I'm sure.
I don't know why he submitted himself to Mueller the other day.
Yeah, that was.
And I don't know why the president is even thinking about sitting down with Mueller, given all this information that's coming out.
Well, Jay Sekulow would be a good one to ask about that. Maybe we can get him on our program. Abe, your show this afternoon, what time?
Yeah, 5:05 p.m. Central Standard Time is when we get started, and we'll go all the way to 6 p.m.
The Hamilton Corner this afternoon, right here on this station with Abe Hamilton at 5:05 Central Time. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.